Welcome to the Catastrophic Comeback Podcast with American injury lawyer Clark Speaks, helping you find hope, purpose, and joy after a catastrophic injury.
Okay, well, so that's interesting. So there's two things I'd like to talk to you about a little bit about your recovery process, but two things are jumping out at me as you're talking about it. And that is the things that help you through these really, what a lot of people have described in other contexts and other conversations I've had is really sort of dark and difficult times. Those times don't seem to be your focus. Your focus seems to be your attitude during this process, your mindset during this process, and also the support system that you have through this process. And then also it seems to me to be important that you have, that you seem to be a goal focused, goal oriented person. So if the goal initially was to play in Major League Baseball and that was your goal, then you have in a very short period of time redefined your goal system to where your goal is actually to be the first Division I player to play with a prosthetic leg. And that transitions in this conversation is quick. And am I right about those three keys?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think whenever challenges like this in life kind of hit, that you just kind of readjust your life. And that's kind of what I did because, like I said, baseball was my life before my accident, and I realized that it could still be my life after. That obviously life's bigger than just baseball, and I kind of think that's how my accident happened, and my outlook kind of was bigger than just baseball now. But I would say that I still am living to inspire, living to play baseball, and I think that's really my purpose in life is to inspire others, and that's just through baseball at the time being, but, I mean, that can be through Paralympics, which I want to do one day, or just public speaking in general, and just going out and telling my story. So I would say that my mindset was probably quicker than others. But like I said, that was just from my support system I had. And that was really just key to my recovery was my family being there, the community of Greenville being here, the community of Laurinburg just supporting me and showing love. And many people out there just giving their kind wishes and prayers and just trusting in the Lord and knowing that his will is better than ours.
That brings up several things. I've talked to some other people who have had similar experiences. And in those conversations, one of the things that comes up is something that seems to be very helpful to people who are going through something like this is the concept of once they get a handle on their situation, then it becomes very important to them to turn around and help other people. And, and that seems to be a part of your focus as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's just a positive outlook on it. Just because people that are going through similar accidents as mine or just life altering things, they realize that people that go through that need support. They need help because there's a lot of questions and guidance is really needed. And to me, I had people in my life that had been through my accident or been through things such as my accident that kind of guided me in a way that I needed to go. And just return that favor to other people was kind of, I guess, what I'm trying to do. And I guess that's what other people try to do as well. And just trying to help that next generation of people that go through tragic accidents and telling them that, hey, life's going to be okay, that it's probably really dark right now. But the end goal is a lot better and that his plan is a lot better than ours. And just trusting him and his timing is key.
Well, so yeah, that's great. Let me ask you this. You talked about the support system and the support that you got in the community. I've been connected to East Carolina in various ways for a long time. You know, went to school there, love the place, love the people, love the community. I was there for lots of different things from the Peach Bowl all the way through, you know, all kinds of different situations. I don't remember seeing them rally around an individual person to the extent that they rallied around you. and the emotion and inspiration that it brought to that community more than you. And in fact, recently, you actually, so update us please on your participation with East Carolina basketball and East Carolina baseball, kind of where you are with that.
Yeah, I'm full back. I mean, I'm doing everything everybody else is doing. I'm on the 40-man roster, and so I'm full participation in practicing and games. So I'm back full time and just like everybody else.
Well, so recently, you actually were in a game. You had an at bat, and I saw. I had friends that were there. I was not there. I had friends that were there, and from what I understand, the place went bananas when you got up to bat. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a cool moment. It's just Pirate Nation being Pirate Nation. And I feel like my story is part of their story as well, just because they were going through it with me. Just if that was on the outside, just supporting me. But they were there the whole time. And that's why people commit here, is because the fans like Pirate Nation. But, I mean, I got the call in the eighth inning that I was going up to the plate second that ended. And I went out there, and before I could even step foot out of the dugout, the fans were waiting for it. And I was on deck, and they were going crazy from then. And then most of my name was called over to intercom, and I was step foot in that box. It was a special moment for sure.
Have you been getting support from people outside of the community that you wouldn't expect to, that are maybe distant Pirate supporters or other people that maybe that you wouldn't have expected to hear from?
Yeah, I mean, my story just, I guess, blown up, but reaching so many people. I mean, I've got a call from Donald Trump. I've got tweets from Mark Cuban, Theo Vaughn, just people that I never thought would ever say my name. And just hearing those guys support me and let me know how inspirational my story is to them is really cool. Just seeing the impact I've had on the nation.
Well, for sure. Yeah. So I can understand that. And I'm one of those people, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know what we try to do here, you know, our mission is to help people recover physically, financially, and emotionally from these kinds of things. And it became very important for us to have you on when we started learning about your story and the inspiration that you've had on other people. And one of the things that's a big part of our program is faith. Faith is important to me. And I think it can be something that is really helpful to people. You described a scenario where you had the support of your family, your parents, your sisters. Not everybody has those things, but everybody has, in my opinion, has the opportunity to reach out and to ask God to help them through these difficult situations. And can you tell me, has your faith evolved, or can you tell me what part faith has had in this journey for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the only reason I'm here today, was because of God and Him saving me. But I was a really big Christian beforehand. But after an accident like mine, and just seeing the God moments in my accident, really, He was there every step of the way. When I tell you every step, I mean, Miles Curley being there that day, that nurse being on that boat, my parents' blood, a tire on 74 on the way here, and a Hispanic tire shop being 600 feet away from where they are and only having one tire to fit my dad's car that day on a 4 p.m. on a Saturday. I mean, it's just so many moments where just God moments. And I would say my faith has definitely grown since then, just because, I mean, there's no denying that it's real. And when I think He saves you, literally, I think that you have a different appreciation. But, I mean, I'm still the same guy, same faith-driven guy that I was beforehand. And just spreading that gospel now and sharing His goodness is the main key in my life. And I would say that He definitely put things in perspective to me, because I really did live for baseball before the accident. And that's really why I surrounded my life with. Every weekend I was somewhere doing with something with baseball, and never really putting Him first. But now, I mean, that's the main goal in life, is just to make it to heaven and to inspire others along the way.
So let me ask you, when I see, so I've got kids that are about your age. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, I've just been thinking, I wonder if I went to school with your dad, you know. But yeah. In any event, the I've got kids your age, and they're kind of going through the things that you go through and college and all that. And they're hearing all the, and they get to college. And as a parent, I hear all these influences and I see the TV. They've grown up in church and they have a relationship with God and all this. And I'm, it's very much intentional by design. And I think it's a part of our family. And there, is it hard to be a young person in school? That's just my perception as a boomer or whatever, as an older, as a 50 year old. Is it difficult to maintain your faith in the current
world? Yeah. I would say that it's not for me, just because I surround myself with people that have the same faith that I do. With the baseball team, I mean, there's so many guys that are so faith driven, and it's really been awesome just to see a lot of people's lives get changed really within the past year. We have a really good leadership group with Carter Cunningham, Charlie Hodges, and they started up SDA again here at ECU, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they have a Bible study for the team. I mean, other Bible studies outside the community with those guys as well. And so it's really easy to me to stay faith driven, but I could see where someone else wouldn't be. But I mean, as long as you keep him number one in your life and that's where your focus is, I think that it's pretty easy to keep that and stay faith driven.
Can you give me some help with this, right? So somewhere out there is a person who's listening to this, who is where you were after you got stabilized in that hospital, and they have all the questions and all the fears and all the concerns. You know, it might be a little bit different, but I mean, to me, I try to put myself in that person's position: is what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? What's my life going to look like in the future? What am I going to, am I going to be able to be independent and do the things that I wanted to do, that I had planned to do? What are the things, what are the tools that those people have that might be helpful to them? And what advice would you give to them?
I would say take it day by day and just get 1% better each and every day. And trust in God that his plan is better than ours. But for me, my mindset kind of changed to the what's next mindset with, when I was in the hospital. What's next is, when's the next surgery? When can I get out of here? When can I get hitting again? When can I get my leg? Really all of it. And that's kind of what I relied on. And I just kind of relied on his purpose in the word. And I kind of dove really deep into the Bible and realized that his plan is bigger than ours. And I know I keep saying that, but that was the biggest thing for me, and realizing that his plan is not to harm us. And I really relied on Jeremiah 29:11 at the time, which is basically saying that his plan is to prosper us and not to harm us, and that he will give us hope in a future. I would say that, definitely just relying on that and relying that everything will get better, and that as long as you work hard each and every day, that you have that 1% better mindset, which basically means I'll just get 1% better each and every day, that things will eventually get to where you want it to be.
So, Parker, let me ask you this. What's next for you? What's next for you, athletically, academically, in terms of your mission to help other people and help and inspire other people?
Yeah. So, I mean, right now it's just a season, all the way until June. And then, this summer I'm playing summer ball in New Bern. So I'm looking forward to that. And then this summer, just a lot of speaking engagements and, traveling across really America just to, speak and to inspire others.
Where can we find you? Where can we, how can we follow your career and your pursuit of these objectives?
Yeah, so my Instagram is Parker Byrd, P-A-R-K-E-R, and then B-Y-R-D, but it's a D at the end too, so Parker Byrd with two Ds. And then my X or Twitter, whatever it is now, is Parker Byrd 11, so just Parker Byrd and 11 at the end. And then I have a website as well for public speaking engagements that I just actually posted, which is www.parkerbird16.com.
Yeah, we'll put a link to that in there.
Perfect.
At the end of this. Hey, man, thank you so much. I appreciate you joining us. I think it's going to be helpful to a lot of people. So we'll look forward to following your career in baseball and beyond. So thank you so much.
Perfect.
For joining us, Parker.
I appreciate you. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.